Amen. Amen. We give our offering of praise to a lot of things in this world. We give it to a lot of people. We lift up celebrities. We lift up athletes. We lift up entertainers. We lift up singers. But the only real person, the only real God that's worthy of praise is our God. Amen. He deserves all the praise. He deserves all the glory and honor. Amen. Amen. We have a couple of announcements. And actually, before we get to the announcements, we want to have special prayer. In fact, I'm going to invite you to stand. This is a very special need that we need to pray for as a church. As many of you know, we've been praying for Johnny Adkins. He's had cancer. He's not been well. As of a couple of days ago, the doctors came in and said, really, we're at the final stages. It's days. Sister Robin is there now. The Wallaces and Sister Connie, they're going to be traveling up there this afternoon. And Sister Robin was there last night, and Sister Connie was just saying it looked like it could have been last night that he went. He's just, I mean, any minute, it looks like just looking at his physical shape that he's in. But mm-hmm. We are still here. He's still here. And most importantly, God's still here. And so we want to lift up right now in faith, believing that God knows, believing that God's still on the throne, that he's still a healer. And so we're going to lift up not only Johnny Adkins, but the entire Adkins family, his wife Julie, Sister Connie, Sister Doris. I mean, let's just pray that the Comforter would come into this need right now. Let's pray in Jesus' name. God, there is a need that is represented that is bigger than anything we can do. God, it's larger than what the doctors can do. God, there's nothing that we can do here on earth but pray. God, in your hands, it is a small thing. It is a light thing. So we're asking that you would step into that room right now. God, I pray you are still a healer. You are still on the throne. We still believe, God, that you are able to do exceedingly and abundantly and above all we could ask or think. God, you are working right now. I pray that you would touch Johnny. God, that there would be a miracle that would go forth. God, that right now at 11 a.m., he would feel a touch of the Almighty God. God, that we would experience this miracle here in this Christmas season. God, encourage Julie right now. Encourage the family. God, send your comforting angels there. God, minister to them. Lift up Sister Julie right now. God, I pray that there'd be an encouragement with her. Touch Sister Connie. God, touch the entirety of the family. Touch Sister Doris. Touch Larry. God, you know every need. You know where they're at. And we're relying upon you to work and to move as only you can do. We will give you all the glory and all the honor. Come on, let's thank him for that right now. Let's offer him a hand clap of praise for what he's doing. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Continue to be in prayer as you go about your week. Be in prayer. take a moment to pray for this family. This is a body. This is a body member, a part of our body. And when they're hurting, we have got to stand in the gap. We have to bear one another's burdens right now. So encourage Sister Connie. Pray for Sister Julie. They need us now more than ever. Let's continue to lift them up. As our ushers would get prepared for today's tithe and offering, we do want to announce we are doing a Christmas for Christ offering. We've announced it. It will not be part of this offering. We're going to do a special offering at the end of service. So if you accidentally put it in this one, it'll be fine. The Lord will figure it out. But save that for at the end of service. A few announcements. We will not have prayer tonight nor service this week. We are being respectful of your time with your family, so enjoy that time away with your loved ones. We will have regular service next Sunday. We do have a number of special guests today. I'm going to try and get all these right. If I miss one, you can blame Sister Kellum. So this is her. But it's good to have Ronnie and Janie, Tom and Bethany, Tiffany, Camden, Lily, Colvin, Tommy, Malachi, Jude, Stephanie, and James with us today. Did I miss anybody? All right, good. So good. So good to have them today. Jill and Tiffany was here a second ago. I know they had to get back to work. It was good to see them. Brother Ray, so good to see you again here today. Mark, so good. Mark's home, even though he likes to think that this isn't home, this is home. So Mark's home. And it's so good to see Tim home with us today. So good to have you with us. Make sure you greet somebody. Tell them, you know, you tell them that you love them and welcome in this place. Brother Alex, if you'd pray over today's tithe and offering.
Silent. Praise the Lord. So great to worship him. I was just singing that song and watching you all greet one another and thinking, there's just no place I'd rather be today than in this beautiful church with these wonderful people we love and worshiping our Savior at such a wonderful time of the year. You can be seated. I'm going to sing a special today under my husband's request. I have been quite under the weather this week, so just worship with me. Close your eyes and praise the Savior who we're here to worship. And don't look at me, but I'm singing this song, Mary, Did You Know? But I was reading this week the Christmas story, reading in Luke about the birth of Jesus, and I was watching as Paris played on the floor in front of me and would stand up and then fall back down and would get frustrated when things didn't go her way. And just she's taking her first few steps, but she's still trying to actually be able to walk. And I was thinking how amazing it was that Jesus came as a baby with those limitations as an infant, and then came, was born in a dirty stable, and knew he would live a life where people would reject him, where he would be looked at and questioned, but knew how much he loved you and I, and thought, as Brother Billy said it earlier, it was a part of the plan. And I'm so thankful he didn't take any shortcuts to the plan, but he did it. Even when it was hard, he walked the hard road for you and for me. He came as a baby, and I'm so thankful for that today. I'm so thankful for what he has done in our life. Worship with me as I sing today.
Mary, did you know that your baby boy would one day walk on water? Mary, did you know that your baby boy would save our sons and daughters? Did you know that your baby boy has come to make you new? And this child that you delivered will soon deliver you. Mary, did you know that your baby boy would give sight to a blind man? Mary, did you know that your baby boy would calm the storm with his hand? Did you know that your baby boy has walked where angels trod? And when you kiss your little baby, you kiss the face of God. Mary, did you know? Oh, Mary, did you know? The blind will see, the deaf will hear, the dead will live again. The lame will leap, the dumb will speak, the praises of the Mary, did you know that your baby boy is Lord of all creation? Mary, did you know that your baby boy would one day rule the nations? Did you know that your baby boy is heaven's perfect lamb? And that sleeping child you're holding is the great I am.
Thank you, Jesus. Would you worship him this morning? Lord, I thank you that you are the great I am. Hallelujah, hallelujah.
Amen. Amen. Between Brother Kellum and my wife, everyone's just basically preaching my material. Turned to Brother Bill and just said, well, between you and her, I mean, I don't know. There's nothing left for me to say. But it is good to be here today. Good to be. I mean, it just feels like a regular Sunday, which is the best kind of Sunday. Just entertaining the presence of the Lord with you all. I've enjoyed myself today. If we could all stand, going to try and spend just a few moments talking about the Christmas story. We're going to turn our attention to Luke 1 and verse 26. I'm going to read a lengthy passage, but it should be on the screen. You can follow along with. It says, "And in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. The angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou that art highly favored. The Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb, and bring forth a son, and shalt call his name Jesus. He shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom there shall be no end. Then said Mary unto the angel, How shall this be, seeing I know not a man? And the angel answered and said unto her, The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she hath also conceived a son in her old age, and this is the sixth month with her, who was called barren. For with God nothing shall be impossible. And Mary said, Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. And the angel departed from her." On this Sunday that we celebrate Christmas, or we celebrate Christmas before Christmas comes, I want to speak to us for just a few moments. Mary's Christmas. Why don't we just take a few moments, let's bow our heads, and let's ask God to do whatever he would desire to do today. In Jesus' name, God, I pray that you would touch. We thank you for what we already feel today. God, as we honor your birth, God, I pray that you would visit us, speak to us, do whatever you need to do. We welcome the presence of God in this place. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. I want to speak to us for a few moments. I had pressured my wife for the last couple of weeks to sing, even though this week she was very ill, but I wanted her to sing that song because A, it's a wonderful song, B, she sounds incredible at it, and C, I wanted to speak about Mary today. I want to talk about what Mary probably went through this morning when Gabriel comes to visit her, because we need to understand that Mary was just a girl. Mary was just an ordinary girl going about her business. And imagine what that day looked like for Mary. I mean, the scripture tells us that she was she was blessed and highly favored. So we would assume that she lived a life pleasing to the Lord. So she probably started that day going to the temple to pray. Then maybe she came home mid-morning and she was cleaning the house. She was trying to get it ready. And then she knew she had a lunch appointment with her fiancé, Joseph. So she had to get her hair just right to go to lunch with Joseph. And then in the afternoon, they were going to the caterer to see what kind of fish they were going to have for their big day. She was really looking forward. Mary was really looking forward to becoming Mrs. Joseph Carpenter. Very exciting for Mary. I mean, imagine, she was an ordinary girl. She was engaged. She did have a fiance. This was just an ordinary girl ready to get married and start their lives together. But in one conversation, in one moment, all of eternity flipped on its head. Just one interaction. All of the Old Testament, everything that Brother Kellum talked about, between Daniel, between Hezekiah, between what Isaiah prophesied, but everything led up to this one particular moment. When Isaiah in 9:6 said, For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Everything leading up to now is just focused upon this moment. I imagine that all the angels in heaven stopped what they were doing. Gabriel, he got the call. He's known for years. He's known however long he's known. He's had the words that he was going to say. But now God turns to him and he says, Gabriel, this morning, it's time for you to go to Mary now. And so all of heaven stopped and watched. And I would imagine that all of hell, every alarm was going off in hell that morning. Every demon, every demonic spirit, everything stopped and turned to that little village in Nazareth to see, is it actually happening? The thing that we heard about from before time, when Lucifer fell from heaven, what we've been afraid of. We thought we had more time, but is it true? God's finally starting his plan. He's finally coming to earth. Everything hinged upon this conversation. And Gabriel presents himself to her and completely disrupts the plan for this normal, ordinary life that Mary was going to have. Little did Mary know that just after that conversation, that some 2,000 years later, we would, if you spoke to anybody and you said, oh, Mary, you know, everyone, the first thought is, oh, the mother of Jesus. I mean, she has locked down the name Mary. Anybody named Mary after her just has to think, oh, like Jesus' mother, okay. Like she's cornered like Jezebel. Anytime you think of Jezebel, you think of Jezebel. I mean, in a much better way, Mary. We remember her fondly today. We celebrate Mary fondly. We rejoice. We thank God for Mary today. But remember what happened for her 2,000 years ago. She didn't know what it was going to look like moving forward for 2,000 years. Think of the implications that came with being pregnant out of wedlock at that time. This was not a light thing. It was not casual and cavalier as it has become in our occurrences today. But Old Testament law was very clear what would take place. Deuteronomy 22:23 tells us that if a damsel that is a virgin be betrothed unto a husband, and a man find her in the city and lie with her, then ye shall bring them both out unto the gate of that city. Ye shall stone them with stones that they die. The damsel, because she cried not, being in the city, and the man, because he hath humbled his neighbor's wife, so thou shalt put away evil from among you. She's facing, just from this conversation, she's facing the potential of being stoned to death. That's a heavy conversation. That is heavy implications. You know, it's easy for us to say, oh, wow, wouldn't it be cool if Gabriel came and talked to us? Oh, wouldn't that'd be awesome, an angel just pop up and tell us we're highly favored? Man, that sounds great. But for Mary, it wasn't a great thing. For Mary, it was a potential death sentence that he was telling her. The first words that Gabriel speaks to her in verse 28 says, Hail, thou that art highly favored. The Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. And it sounds really good when you hear those first words. I'm highly favored. Well, I knew that I was, but it's nice to hear that I am. You know, it sounds pretty good. I mean, who wouldn't want to be highly favored? But just look at the next 9 months of Mary's life. This is what highly favored looks like for Mary. She's blessed and highly favored. She would have a child out of wedlock, which would be a scandal at that time. She had to face the pain and disappointment of a confused husband who had to question what was taking place. And did she really hear from God? Until God came to him in a dream, he had to trust her. How do you trust someone that tells you that nugget? I mean, what a testament to Joseph. And then she would have to be forced to travel to Bethlehem for a census. And it would be a trip that would take, that would be 90 miles, a 90-mile journey for a 9-month pregnant woman. Not speaking about my wife because I'm smarter than that, but for any pregnant woman, a journey to get in the car and to do anything is a journey. Not my wife, she was a warrior, but for anybody else, it is a difficult thing to do. But imagine a 90-mile journey, and she didn't have a nice Nissan Pathfinder to hop into. She had to hop on the back of a donkey and walk, or be ride there. And any estimation, it would take at least 7 to 10 days of travel. So she's camping out. She's setting up a tent. I mean, this is highly favored, remember? This is what someone who's highly favored gets to do. Then finally, we know the story. She arrives. She only to have not room in not to have room in the inn, and she has to give birth in a lowly stable. And often now we have scenes, nativity scenes, and we romanticize it, and it's fun, and we go and visit it, and how pretty, and oh, look, they're doing live animals. Oh, that's so neat. Oh, look at the little pig. Oh, he's so cute. Oh, the little tail. Oh, and we romanticize what it looked like, but imagine you're 9 months pregnant. You're giving birth in a stable. It was not a desirable birth. It was nothing that was had any acclimate. There was no pomp. There was no circumstance. It was a bad, unfortunate, lowly, lowly birth, which is why God chose that birth. The lowliest birth for the highest level of authority we would ever know. Jesus didn't need pomp and circumstance to announce himself as Messiah. He was the Messiah already. Like my wife spoke, the moment he was born, he was the Messiah. The moment he was born, he was the Counselor. He was the Mighty God. He was the Everlasting Father. The moment he was born, he was the Messiah. From the first breath he breathed, from the first tear that came down his face as he cried like a little baby, he was still Jesus Christ. He was still God manifest in flesh. He was still our Savior. That's who he was from the moment he first took his breath. And then later on, Mary would raise her son Jesus. She would watch him grow and mature and go from being a young boy to a teen, to a teacher and a leader of a movement, and perform miracle after miracle. How exciting. Now she could say, oh, now I could see how I'm highly favored. My son's performing miracles. I can really tell this is the Son of God. Look at his doctrine. Wow, he must be the Son of God. God chose me. I really was highly favored, only to see him tried and convicted as a criminal and crucified right in front of her very eyes. Doesn't seem so highly favored when you watch your son be hung on a cross. Any mother that knows that's lost a child, there's no greater tragedy than a mother losing their child. But imagine your son's been wrongfully convicted. Imagine he's been beaten. He's been accused of doing things he's never done before and then crucified. Doesn't sound too highly favored. And it's like it's a difficult and uphill battle for Mary to face. And it can be easy in seasons of our lives to feel like Mary, to be told that you're highly favored, but the circumstances surrounding your life don't match up with what you believe highly favored should look like. Maybe this year you've been told you are highly favored, or you came to church and you thought, if I was really chosen and highly favored, I wouldn't have difficult times. I wouldn't have loss. I wouldn't have debt. I wouldn't have financial problems. My family wouldn't have issues if I was truly highly favored. How could I be favored of God and still fight the same battles I fight every day? In our text, we see Mary was troubled by this. It was a troubling greeting. What does this possibly mean? But he follows it up in Luke 1:30. He says, "Fear not, Mary, thou hast found favor with God." And I would make that same plea to you today. Fear not. Fear not. You found favor with God. Fear not. It's easy to say, how can you say I found favor? You don't know what I'm fighting. You don't know what I'm up against. You don't know how tough and difficult my life is. But I can say without a doubt, if you are in this place today, you are highly favored of God. You could be anywhere else. You should be. Some of you, if you looked internally and you knew, you know you should be anywhere else. You should be in a dark hole somewhere. You should be struggling and facing things. But God saw fit to bring you here in his infinite wisdom. You are highly favored if you are here today. God saw you. And you could say, well, yeah, but I chose to be here. God didn't make this happen. I made this decision on my own, and I would agree with that completely. God has given you a choice to be here, but for whatever reason, you chose to come. Whether it's an invitation, whether someone twisted your arm, it doesn't matter. You chose to come into a place, worship our Creator, hear children sing songs lifting up His name, and hear the preached Word of God. You are highly favored. You are highly favored. I have some staggering statistics, and these are heavy statistics from the Open Door USA. It's an organization that monitors and investigates persecution in the world. Just to give you a few statistics to prove how highly favored you are. And this is 2018 data. But from 2018, they polled the top 50 countries and they investigated the top 50 countries, the largest 50 countries in terms of population. They found that 245 million Christians in the world experience persecution for their choice to follow Christ. They found that 1 in 9 Christians worldwide experience high levels of persecution. In 2018, 4,136 Christians were killed for faith-related reasons. In 2018, 2,625 Christians were detained without trial. They were arrested, they were sentenced, and they were imprisoned just for being a Christian. There were 1,266 churches or Christian buildings attacked in 2018. There were 11 countries scoring in the extreme level for their persecution of Christians. And just 5 years ago, in 2013, 5 years ago, there was only one country, North Korea, that placed in that. 5 years go by and now 11 countries fall under that category of extreme level of persecution. Every month, 105 churches are attacked, burned, or vandalized. Every day, 11 Christians in the world were killed for their faith in 2018. 11 people were killed in 2018 for their belief in Jesus Christ. And we have the opportunity to come into this place. No one's watching us. No one's caring about us. There's no repercussion if you leave or don't stay. No danger for you at all. I would make a plea to you that you are highly favored. You are highly favored. You are blessed among men, blessed among women. God has a specific plan and a specific purpose. And with that, if God has chosen you to be the ones that have the freedom to worship, we should worship not only for ourselves, but for the people all over this world that are persecuted, that don't have the freedom, that don't have the ability to come to a place corporately and worship God. How difficult that life must be, but thank God that He has called us to something more. And looking at Mary, the temporary trial of giving birth to a son out of wedlock and the shame and the hurt that would come with that, all of that she had to go through, it would mean a future where the world would be blessed. Luke 1:31, we read it today, but it says, "Behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and shalt call his name Jesus. He shall be great and shall be called the Son of the Highest. The Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David, and he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end." God knew, He knew our need for a Savior far outweighed the very temporary hardships that Mary would go through. I'm not trying to understate what hardships those were. I can't imagine what that would be like for her. But God weighed it out, and He said, yes, that will be difficult, but it is worth it for her to go through that. God looked at His own crucifixion, like my wife said, a perfect plan. He chose every step of the way. When the Jews thought they had Him cornered, when they thought they won by crucifying, when they thought they won the victory, little did they know they were playing into God's perfect plan because He knew we needed a Savior. He knew that one day in 2019 there would be a person that would come into a church in Sandwich, Illinois, needing a Savior, needing a counselor, needing a healer, needing a comforter, needing a provider. So He came to be our Savior. If our greatest need had been information, God would have sent us an educator. If our greatest need had been technology, God would have sent us a scientist. If our greatest need had been money, God would have sent us an economist. If our greatest need had been pleasure, God would have sent us an entertainer. But our greatest need was forgiveness, so God sent us a Savior. And I'm thankful. How many can say, I'm thankful that God sent a Savior for me? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Mary's response to Gabriel is one that we probably all would have given. Luke 1:34, it said, Mary said unto the angel, how shall this be, seeing I know not a man? And the angel answered and said unto her, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she hath also conceived a son in her old age, and this is the sixth month with her, who was called barren. For with God nothing shall be impossible. Whatever situation you find yourself facing, nothing shall be impossible. Gabriel tells Mary, this is how unlimited the power of God is. You have not been with a man. You are pure. It is impossible. There's no way you could become pregnant. But God. He goes one step further. He doesn't need to do this. There's no need for God to do this. He didn't need Elizabeth to become pregnant. She wasn't giving birth to a Savior. This was not necessary for God to do. But then God shows himself to be all-powerful one more step. He says, now check your cousin Elizabeth. She's barren. She's old of age. She's past her childbearing years. Never had a child. Not only will I do a miracle in your life, I'll do a miracle in her life. Just to further show that I am God on the throne. I believe God wants to do something in your life that you don't even need. I serve a God that can fulfill needs, desires, wants. God is not bound by just our needs. God didn't need to bless Elizabeth, but God was showing, I am truly the all-powerful God. I have unlimited power, and with me, nothing shall be impossible. The story of the entirety of Jesus' life, from conception to death, was chock full of impossible moments. Even beyond his crucifixion, we saw the impossible take place with his resurrection. Because with God, nothing shall be impossible. And at long last, as we finish the story of Mary, imagine her in that moment. Gabriel lays out the plan. He tells her in 31 through 33 exactly what is going to take place. He'll be on the throne of David forever. He's going to restore the house of Jacob. He's going to do all these things. She hears him say all of these things, and she has to ponder. She has to think. She has to carry that weight. What are the ramifications if I say yes? What are the hardships if I say yes? What are the difficulty? What will my family say? They won't understand. It won't make any sense. I couldn't be pregnant with the Son of God. This doesn't make any sense. Consider Joseph. What will this do to Joseph? How will this hurt Joseph? How will this change my life? I just wanted to be married. I just wanted a simple life. This is going to mess everything up. She has to ponder all of this. And once she thinks about everything Gabriel is telling her, she responds in Luke 1:38. And it says, and Mary said, behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. And the angel departed from her. Mary understood. She knew the weight of that decision. It was not a light thing that she was undertaking. It was not minor. She wasn't caught off guard with the weight of this decision. But when she came to it, she understood that not only would life burdens not go away or get better, but there would be greater challenges ahead. But when those challenges come, God will be with me. God will be with me. Sometimes living for the Lord and being favored of God brings blessings in your life that sometimes look like difficulties. But with those burdens come a blessing, because God walks along beside you and he lifts those heavy burdens off your back. He's with you. You don't have to face any trial by yourself. You don't have to face trouble or difficulties all along. And those difficulties always birth something greater, and that's a closeness to our Savior. If we could all stand as we close. The true spirit and story of Christmas is that God desires to enter into the lives of ordinary people and do something miraculous. Mary was just like you and me. Mary wasn't anything special other than being available to God. That's the only qualifications that Mary had, was she was available to God. And when God desires to step into your life, hear the words of Gabriel. Fear not, you are highly favored of me. Fear not, I have chosen you. Fear not, I have a plan for you. Fear not, I know what I'm doing. I understand that sometimes making a decision to live for the Lord comes with responsibilities and difficulties, but it also comes with something far beyond responsibilities and difficulties. It comes with a relationship with the Creator of the universe. It comes with a God walking along beside you, carrying you, helping you every step of the way. Every step of the way, God is with you. I promise you, if Mary was still alive here today, if she walked into this room and we asked her, Mary, would you do it all over again? She'd say 10 times out of 10 times, I would do it again. I'd face the difficulties. I'd face the hardships because I birthed the Savior. And I promise you, for any older saint that has lived a life for the Lord, that can look back and say over the last 50, 60, 70 years, I've been committed to God. If they were here and we asked them today, would you do it all over again? They'd say, I'd do it 10 out of 10 times. I'd do it all over again because living for the Lord is the best decision you will ever make. It's the best thing you could do. The best thing we could do today as we close this service is just do exactly what Mary did. Just say, be it unto me according to your word. Whatever you're telling me, God, I don't understand. It makes no sense to me. It's beyond me. But God, be it unto me according to your word. God, I trust your word. I'm not saying that you have to become something overnight. I'm not saying you make a change and you're radically different. I'm not. God can do that. I'm not saying he can't, but that's not what this is about. Mary saying yes in that moment didn't give birth to Jesus that afternoon. She still had a 9-month journey. She still had a process. She still had to go through pains of childbirth. She had to still face difficulties, but every step of the way, God was with her. And so all God wants us to say this Christmas season is I'm available. Be it unto me, God. If you're calling me to something more, if you're telling me I'm highly favored, I don't even know what that means, but I'm here. I'm available to you. The magnitude of Mary being open to that promise changed eternity, changed everything for you and me. Those words, be it unto me according to thy word. What would your life, what would your world look like if you just said, God, I'm available? I believe everything around you would change. Every situation, every circumstance would change if we would make ourselves available to God. As we close this service, why don't we just all over this place, let's just bow our heads. I know that we've all come, or we're all different. We've all come from different walks of life. But if you are here today, I believe with everything in me, you are highly favored and called of God. You don't feel qualified, you don't feel worth it, but God loves you and God has placed you here for a purpose in his plan. All he's looking for is openness. All he's looking for is availability. So as we close tonight, or as we close today, why don't you just lift up your hands and just make yourself available? We're just going to spend a couple of moments in prayer closing this service. Come on, why don't you just spend a moment and say, God, I'm available to you. God, on this week of Christmas, as we celebrate your birth, God, I know that me saying yes may bring hardships, but God, I know more so than that, that'll bring blessings from the Savior. God, I want you more than I want anything else. God, I am available to you. I am available. Come on, just take just a moment. Come on, let's just tarry. Let's just tarry in the presence of God. Let's just make ourselves available. God, I... we sing this together as a sign of surrender. For the presence that we feel right now. We worship you. We glorify you, God. You are so good to us. You are so good to us. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. The good thing about living for the Lord is that you don't have to have anything figured out. You don't have to know what you're doing. You just have to be open and available to Him. He takes care of the rest. Here's a little clue. Here's a peek behind the curtain for all of us. None of us up here know what we're doing. We're just making it day by day. We're just leaning upon God. Besides maybe Brother Bill over there, he's probably the only one that knows what he's doing. The rest of us are just making it up and trusting God along the way. We trust Him. We trust Him. Amen. 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 It is good to be with you today. If you could remain standing, we're getting ready to close service. And I had mentioned it the last couple of weeks, last Sunday. We do something, we participate as a church in an offering called Christmas for Christ. This offering, not a single dollar will remain in this church. This offering is meant specifically to give to an organization called North American Missions. And their goal is to plant churches and to reach North America. We have other offerings that we give that go international. This offering is specifically for unchurched North America. How many would say, I know of cities, I know of family members that are in towns that don't have a church. And so this offering we give is not for us, it's for the King. He knows what He's doing with it. We trust Him with it. So we're getting ready to sing. We're going to sing a congregational together as we go out, but we're going to pray over this offering, and we're going to do this differently. We have some offering plates. We're going to sing come, O come all ye faithful, is what we're going to sing. Not come, let us adore him, or maybe that's the same song. I'm not entirely sure. Don't quiz me. But just come as we sing together. This is meant to be a congregational. I don't care if you can't sing well. Sing it with all your heart. Manny, I'm looking at you. Sing it. You sing well, but sing it with all your heart, Manny. And just come if you have an offering to give. If it's in a box, if it's in something, place it on the altar and the offering plates. And as we finish that, as we finish the song, we will all be dismissed. So let's sing this together. And come bring your offering. Christmas this week. Shake someone's hand, hug someone's neck, tell them you love them. So good to have all of our guests and visitors with us. Be blessed. Have a good week. Amen. In Jesus' name. Amen.